Hello, friends. Welcome, welcome. It is the John DeBella Show Daily Podcast. How goes it, folks? It's Dave Gibson in here with you and all these mighty entertaining clips from this morning. We started things off lamenting the state of affairs between the Hart sisters. We recapped last night's fantastic, as always, Comfort Food Fest. Comedian Chris Porter made his debut on the show and told a story that's, ridiculous and involves the rock world colliding with the sports world all in his parents' basement. So definitely want to make sure you hear that. We had a really cool bid that we went to you for today out there on the phones. My first news, the first news story that you can recollect as a child. Really fascinating variety of different generations chiming in on that one. So have a listen for yourself. Here you go. It's all the good stuff. Let's do it. It is the Daily Podcast.
Magic Man from Hart, of course. Nancy from Hart is going to be a part of the big... Anne from Hart. You know what's funny? Because I was thinking about this earlier. I still can't get over their fight. I still can't. I find it so hard to believe that the two of them aren't even talking to each other.
Is it that bad? Right?
Yeah, it is that bad. Oh, you know, it had something to do with Nancy's boyfriend. You know,
Anne's kids.
It was messy family stuff. And now Hart is for the most part
broken.
Not there. Yeah. Hart is broken. Yeah. That's very, very nice.
It's genius, guys. All right. That's why I'm on the show.
All right, so,
to provide that level.
Well, Anne will be there, and actually Nancy from WMGK will be there as well.
So
Nancy Palumbo will be on stage with Anne Wilson.
We've got to get that picture. Anne and Nancy together again. Because remember, years ago, Hart was one of the big gig bands.
Yeah.
And there is a picture of them together, so we'll get a new one.
The John DeBella Podcast.
It's lots of fun. We have music and everything.
102.9 MGK.
I'm not sure if you've encountered this yet. We do this in the 8 o'clock hour. It's a little game we call Millennials versus Boomers, where we ask boomers pop culture questions that millennials would know, and we ask millennials pop culture questions that boomers would know. And each day after the show, we start preparing questions for the next day. And while doing it, you know, we're talking about some of this is, you know, obviously it's history. It's, you know, it's pop culture from the past. So I raised the question yesterday, and I said I was going to bring it up today, and we're going to open it up to all of you in the audience, 215-263-WMGK, right? And now I'm afraid to ask you two. I really am afraid to ask you two. All right. What was your first news story? What is the earliest news story that you remember? I will admit this much. Mine's in black and white, okay? The earliest news story you remember, whether it was newspapers, TV, whatever, but more than likely it's going to be TV.
It's OJ, the Bronco.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
The Bronco.
Was that 94?
94. I wasn't, I wasn't even 7 years old yet, so I didn't understand what was going on.
John's bent over in pain.
I am. I'm covering this on the air here in Philadelphia, right? This was your first news story.
Yes.
John's on his second wife.
I remember seeing the Bronco going down the highways.
Yeah.
And then as the case, when I remember seeing it on TV, my parents watching the news, and I had no idea what was going on.
Did you know who
OJ
was?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I had no idea why it was such a huge thing. I remember when the verdict finally came out and people were going crazy on both sides. So happy, so angry. Right. I didn't understand why.
Wow.
I didn't understand how it hit so many different people different ways.
I remember doing that story and, you know, actually, you know, coming home one night and a friend calling me. And saying, are you watching this? This is when the chase was going on, the white Bronco chase. Are you watching this? Watching what? OJ. What the hell? Why do I care about what OJ's doing? Because, no, they think he killed his wife, and they're chasing him through
He's got a gun to his head in the back of a Bronco.
Right. Yeah, like, wow.
Al Cowling's on the phone call?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's Ace. You know who I am, AC.
So what was it for you? Call us here in the studio, 215-263-WMGK, your first news story. Cindy, all right, earliest news story, your first news story. What is the earliest news story that you remember?
I remember the Beatles arriving at JFK for their, when they went to play on Ed Sullivan the first time, and like all the screaming girls, and I don't know why they were would be screaming, because the Beatles were cool, you know?
Well, now, were you a screaming girl at that time? Were you too young to be a screaming girl?
I was four.
You were four.
I was screaming about other things.
Getting your Cheerios.
Yeah, right, exactly.
All right. 215-263-WMGK.
Okay, it's time to fess up.
Oh, you want mine?
Yes, the black and white memory.
Okay. All right. Well, Cindy's memory's in black and white also.
Yes. No, 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 hers is color.
No, it's black and white. Sorry.
No, they never colorized that film. Mine is, you ready for this?
What's that?
Right? Castro coming to speak at the UN.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. When I was a kid, when I was a little kid, I was in, so enamored with Castro, only because he was, to me, he was an army guy. He was the only army guy I ever saw on TV in like a real life army guy.
That's true. He never got out of that stupid suit.
Yeah, he was always in the fatigues and that
the
cap.
The commie cap.
Right. You know? So, and I remember he came to New York to speak at the UN, and he purposely booked a hotel room in Harlem. Right? You know, because he wanted to be with the people.
Well, that whole thing, he like roamed around town like he was a rapper.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
You know, like with his entourage and like a you know, news crew in tow.
Yeah, right. And that news crew was shooting film. There was no video yet.
Obviously.
They had film at the time.
Black and white
film. But that is, and it's such a distinct memory for me of seeing him and those shots of him walking through the streets. So what's it for you? Call us here in the studio, 215-263-WMGK, your earliest news story.
The John DeBella Podcast. Guest, Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9.
Speaking of getting all together, we're all together last night for the John DeBella Show Comfort Food Fest at Punchline. Our thanks to Punchline for being our host last night. Of course, later on this morning, comedian Chris Porter, who is appearing at Punchline, will be joining us. But what'd you think? What'd you think last night?
Really good food.
It's always really good food.
I didn't get to everything. I tried to.
You?
I know. It was busy.
It's hard.
It was busy. I think I got everything except for two.
All right.
Yeah.
I got
in a very short amount
one.
Of time.
You got everything
except
one?
Except for one, yeah.
All right.
Which is good work.
Right. Yeah. That's incredible. I think one time I may have done all 10 things.
That's
one
a feat.
Time, right? Yeah. And it was
no
early
joke.
On, but now it's like, no, I can't. I just can't anymore.
I fell in love from the first sight on the menu of the one that ended up winning.
Yeah.
Right. Revolution Tacos, French Onion Soup, Empanada.
Oh, right. Yeah. Carolyn Nguyen and Michael Sultan, who've been in on the Food Fest for many years now.
I think they've won before.
Right. Do you think so? I mean, you know, I don't, you know,
after, been so many.
After 11, I have a hard time remembering. Exactly. All right. How about for you, Cindy?
First of all, you guys are amateurs that you can't eat everything.
Oh, how dare you?
I ate it all and I had seconds.
You saw us with our witty banter on the stage.
That's right. We're slaves
how
to the mug.
That's true.
How dare you?
I do have a little more free time than you guys.
Although I have to tell you, I think Steve's reason for not eating everything is it seems that someone managed to come up with a beer called Belgo.
Oh, my God, yes. Yes. There's
Belgo,
yes.
Which is his son and his middle name.
So, naturally, I was drinking Magic Hats.
Yeah.
Belgo, I think it's Belgo Sutra.
Right.
It was really good.
It was good.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that just because of the name. It was actually a good beer.
Yeah. I know. The only picture I got last night. The only picture I got last night from him was, you know, because we're all running around the room. And all of a sudden, I get this text. Hey, have you had this yet? And it's like Belgo beer. I was like, right, okay, sure. Yeah. Right,
I didn't see any Dave, John, or Cindy beers.
Right, that's true.
Well, for John, it would be what? Bartholomew?
Yeah, it would be Bart's beer.
Is that Duff crap?
It's root beer. It's root beer is what it is. All right. What's happening? Did I ever find out what your favorite was?
I think it was Morimoto's Surf and Turf.
Yes.
With black truffle, the little dumplings.
That
oh,
was
my
decadent.
Gosh.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was very hard to pick a favorite because everything. Was so
there was
good.
A good chili too. South.
Oh
Canadian
my God!
Really
yes.
Chili.
Yeah.
So spicy.
Bat Boy over here, our intern, was in love with Harvest's chicken and waffles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. It like made. Listen to her. Yeah. You know, I could just name any one, and she'll
go.
Yes.
Cindy, did you try McDonald's cheeseburger?
Yeah. Actually, I love those too. Oh
the John DeBella Podcast.
What are you, a dumbass?
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9 MGK.
You were OJ.
Correct.
All right. And I was Castro coming to America to speak at the UN.
Same time frame.
All right. Cindy was the Beatles landing for the Ed Sullivan Show. And what about you, Dave?
Mine was the Exxon Valdez spill in Alaska. I just remember sitting there in class. I was 7. It was 1989. Mm. For the whole year, I was just staring at posters of oil-drenched ducks on the wall. Like, can we get a new poster in here, Mrs. Smith? Sick of this.
Yeah, but that is the wild thing about about these stories. As soon as somebody says one of them, you just begin to hear the whole thing. I mean, the whole thing. You see it in your mind's eye. You see it in your mind's eye, you know. So let's go to the phone, and I think we got Pat here. Good morning, Pat. How you doing?
All right, John, how's it going, man?
It's going well. So tell me, Pat, think back in time and tell me the earliest news story you remember, your first news story.
Kennedy being shot.
You were in school at that time.
No, I was probably 4 years old because I was born in 59, and I believe he was shot in 63.
Yeah. 63, yeah, yeah. Wow, you remember that. See, I remember being in junior high school. And hearing that story. And they crowded us all in the cafeteria like something was going to happen. Right? Oh, we better get all the kids into the cafeteria.
Yeah, that's one of those things where you remember where you were.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. That's a definitely place and time. Michelle, what about you? Earliest thing you remember?
The American flag being planted on the moon, watching it on a black and white TV.
Oh, God, yeah.
You mean in the TV studio?
Oh, stop.
you're not one of those people.
Of course
people.
Not. I hate those people. Okay. But it had to be said.
Okay. Okay, Rob, first news story.
I would have to say Vietnam.
How do you mean Vietnam? I mean, we got there in like 59.
I'm going to have to say 1969, the end of it.
Oh, okay.
The helicopter.
The end of the Vietnam War. John, what about you?
My first news, I was glued to the TV watching the David Berkowitz, the Son of Sam murders.
I have to tell you, you have no idea how frightening it was to be a teenager in New York when that was going on, when the Son of Sam stuff was going on.
I lived in Jersey City at the time, and everybody was glued to their TV sets while that was going on.
Thank you, John. Have yourself a great morning. Don, your first news story, the earliest news story you remember.
That would be the Challenger explosion back in 86.
Oh, my God. Oh,
and I was only 10 at the time, and they made a big deal because the teacher was on board. And
I found out about that going to get my car. I was going to a parking lot to get my car, and the guy at the parking lot turns to me and says, "Can you believe that story?" And I'm going like, what story?
Wait, Space Boy wasn't watching that live?
By that time, right, you know, shuttle launches had become every day.
Yeah, true.
You know, that's why they put a teacher on it. They just wanted to keep the excitement up. Hey, Pierre.
Well, that was, I was 15 years old when a pilot by the name of Gary Powers was shot down.
Oh, wow. I remember that.
It was scary. I thought we were going to go to war.
Yeah, oh, no, everybody did.
It was scary stuff. I was 15 years old and I ended up in the service anyway, but I think your best news story, and I would like to meet you, talk with you about, you said something about you were at the wall in Germany when they tore it down.
No. I was at the wall in Germany after the teardown happened. I was there for Roger Waters performing the wall at the wall.
No. John tore the wall down himself. He actually, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall.
That was John DeBella. Yeah.
Hey, Mike, what about you? Your first news story.
Yeah, I remember the satellite Sputnik.
The country was in a complete panic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A complete panic because the Russians put a ball that beeped in the air. Sarah, your earliest news story, your first news.
I believe it was either the early 70s, mid 70s, when we had that gas shortage.
Oh, God, was that a pain in the ass. News.
Yeah, all over news, you can only get gas at a certain time. It was odd and even.
Right.
From your license plate.
Explain that. What do you mean odd or even in license plate?
Okay, so your license plate, if your number was like a 1 or a 2 and odd, you could go, say, like on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. If it was like a 2, 4, or 6, you know, even numbers, it was, that's how they did it.
Right.
What about a vanity plate?
A vanity plate, you didn't get gas, right? People just thought you were
correct.
A douche.
Yes.
Have a good morning. Billy Joel before that, and we didn't start the fire. The most appropriate song we could have possibly played after all of those stories. Other stories are coming in. Kevin mentioned Watergate. Nick, and so did Eric, our intern, Bat Boy over here. Right, 9/11. For them. 9/11 for them.
Now I'm feeling your pain.
Yeah, right?
Of aging.
All right. The Clinton scandal from Julie, the moon landing from Bill. We got a bunch of those. I got a couple of the Cuban Missile Crisis, right, from Rich and Mark. And Elvis dying on the toilet. Right?
The John DeBella Podcast. Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
I'm having a hard time because you look like my cardiologist.
I am your cardiologist. I've come to tell you the tests have come in and we need to take you to the hospital immediately.
but even though I said you came in from LA, you're from Kansas City,
born and raised.
Uh-huh. That explains the hat.
Yes, right. And it's not on clearance.
All right. Now that's a baseball hat. Are you a football fan as well? Because we have a connection there.
Yeah, we do have a large connection.
Large connection.
You had to remind me of it. You were like, oh, the big tomato in Kansas City. I was like, I lived there for 26 years. I never saw a tomato. And then you're like, Andy Reid. I was like, oh, that's right. He is a giant red bean.
He is a giant red bean.
Is not that dude's color.
No.
Nor is black.
It is not slimming at all.
No, wait, he would be here in black, and it wasn't slimming here either.
We're just happy he's still alive. I really thought all that barbecue was going to kill him. I was like, that dude's going to have 3 helpings of Gates and call it.
We were talking earlier, and these two would be very excited about this. You're a golfer too?
Yeah, I do golf. Yeah, I mean, any
you don't
sport
look like Mr. Sports
any sport
to me,
where you can burn one down and drive a tiny car. I'm in. I do not keep score.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. How are you shooting? I'm out and I'm winning. I'm shooting 2-1 hitters.
Now what happens? What happens when you're in the, do you ever get caught up in like celebrity tournaments or something?
I do every once in a while. I did one in Arizona a few years ago, and what's that dude, Barry Williams?
Greg Brady. Yeah.
He came up to me during one of the parties, and like I was like, yo, me and these NFL players are gonna go smoke some weed. And he was like, and it was the weirdest thing. He goes, it's Greg Brady. He's like, hey man, I don't even know how to ask this, but can I buy a dime bag for my girlfriend? And it was the most surreal. I'm like, am I the bad guy in this episode? Am I the dark force that comes down? I think I've seen this one. I think I'm going to have to meet the dad, aren't I? So it was just, I was like, man, I'm not a dealer. I'm just a guy that doesn't like to drink as much, you know? And I was like, your girl can come with us. And he was like, that'd be great. And so we go do our thing, and we come back, and Greg's gone. And this 24-year-old chick that he brought with him was mad. And she just kept doing laps looking for him. And with every lap,
physically gone,
she kept getting angrier and angrier. She was like, where's Greg Brady?
Where was he?
I saw him the next day, and again, in like perfect Greg Brady fashion, he's just like, man, I was in my room. I don't know what she was doing.
But you have strange, from what I know about you, you have strange run-ins with people.
Life gets weird, man.
Right. And a lot of times it's jocks. What was the pitching staff from the Detroit Tigers doing in your basement?
All right, so through a bunch of weird experiences involving Kid Rock, I'm friends with Justin Verlander.
All right,
who was a pitcher for the Tigers.
All right,
they were in town in Kansas City playing the Royals. I was also in town for a wedding. Justin and I hooked. They had a night off, so Justin and I had some drinks with a couple of his teammates. He sees a young lady across the room. He's like, I think I know that girl. I think she's an actress.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure my fiance and I hung out with her a few months ago. I should go say hello. And I said, hey, man, we're in Kansas City. There's no way that chick's an actress. She probably works at Cheesecake Factory or something. And he's like, no, man. He calls the waiter over. He goes, who's the girl? He goes, I don't know who the girl is, But everyone at that table's with Mumford and Sons. They're playing the arena tomorrow night, and they're here having dinner.
Okay.
And Justin says, send them a bottle on us, meaning him. Right? Because I'm not paying for that. First off, not a huge Mumford and Sons fan. Second off, if I hang out with you and I know you're worth hundreds of millions of dollars, I'm not paying for anything. All right? Sorry, bro. If you pay for this, it doesn't even show up on your register. If I pay for this, I can't buy shoes next month. I'll be upset. So he sends them a bottle. They come over to say thank you. Turns out it's not Mumford and Sons. It's just Ann's Sons. Mumford wasn't there. I don't know where he was. I assume he was back at the hotel writing a song that at some point goes, ah. So Ann's Sons come over, start talking to the Detroit Tigers. I'm not really involved, so I kind of tune it all out. When I come back into focus, Ann's Sons are talking to the Detroit Tigers about beer pong. They're like, yo, we'll whoop your butt in some beer pong. And the Detroit Tigers are like, we get paid very handsomely to put balls places. Bring it. So I said, hey, fellas, my parents live about 8 minutes from here. We could settle this. And I said that because I'm fully aware that both Ann's Sons and the Detroit Tigers have an entire floor at whatever hotel they want to stay at to do whatever they want to do. There's no reason to come to my parents' house. It was complete fake hospitality until they all turned around and looked at me and said, hell yeah, let's go to your parents' house and play beer pong. And that's when I said, oh, crap. Because it is now 1:30 on a Sunday night, technically Monday morning. My parents are not gypsies. All right, they have real jobs with real responsibility, and those start about 4.5 hours. But I also can't look at these dudes and be like, you guys, my parents. So I just said, screw it. Let's just see what happens. We'll roll the dice. We start to leave. My sister, who was also in town, texts me. She goes, hey, I'm out and about. If you get home before I do, will you walk my dog? And I said, hey, unless you're out and about with the Dave Matthews Band, better get your ass home, because things are about to go down at Ma and Pa's house. So we roll into my folks' house at like 2:30 on a Sunday night, start throwing beer pong, and listen to me when I say things got weird. Like, weirder than I've already described. Like, my sister, who's 30, ended up in her prom dress. Like, I don't know. I don't know how that happened. God bless her for still being able to fit in it. But also, what the hell? Right? It's about 3 in the morning. I decide to go outside, indulge in some 420-ness. And Sons come with me.
Okay.
But as it was the middle of the baseball season, the Detroit Tigers could not partake. So they had to pretend like it was the playoffs and watch. So we come back in from burning one down. My dad's downstairs and he's upset. Apparently while we were outside, we had gotten a little loud, woken mom and dad up. And now dad's downstairs to see what the situation is. I said, hey, dad, this is Ann's Sons of Mumford and Sons. And this is half the Detroit Tigers bullpen. And we're playing beer pong. And it was in that moment that I realized my father was no longer sure if he was actually awake. Because you got to look at it from my old man's point of view. He walks downstairs in the middle of the night, sees a bunch of weird dudes that he kind of recognizes, and my sister's in her prom dress. Things are weird, man. And he just looks at me and he's like, is that Justin Verlander? I said, yes, sir, it is. He goes, I don't know what's going on right now. And he walked upstairs. That was the last we saw of him.
Oh, my Lord. Chris Porter is appearing tonight and tomorrow night for 2 shows, 2 on Saturday as well. As a matter of fact, I have 5 pair of tickets to tonight's 8 o'clock show. If you would like to see Chris, and I do recommend it highly, the man is just an incredible storyteller, obviously. All right, give us a call here in the studio, 215-263-WMGK. Thank you so much for getting up, for coming in.
Oh, anytime, right, bro. Right,
and next time I'm visiting my son, I'll just pop by.
I love it.
All right, take care.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Sounds good.
Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.